The blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, open the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha, homage to all who are approaching this holy path, homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts.
The precept of restraint and religious observances,
the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings.
In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself.
With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts.
Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given.
Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma, I am heir to karma,
I am part of karma,
and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabaha. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
I was real excited to read, I guess what went out recently about, in the email class, about recording and listening and just reminders.
Why we're doing it, yeah, what we're doing.
It's funny because just been experiencing a lot of the self-hate and judgment for a while, and even was I had already thought, you know, I need to make a really strong recording.
Yeah.
So it was real exciting to then read that.
Kind of get reinforcement for what you'd seen already, that, wow, I need to get the forces of good going here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. So I started, had a few minutes to start and making that, and I loved, you know, like the qualities would like in
the mentor. So look at people you admire and things like that, and sort of take that over and have your mentor have those qualities.
And even thought of, just to help me remember, I thought of CUP, like cup, like being held. Cupped, and that of compassionate, very understanding, very patient. Those were, you know,
they're all nice qualities for your mentor to have, for anybody's mentor.
It's because before I read the assignment, I was thinking, I think, and I've had this before, that my self-hate is the self-hate that I hear is the worst, or it's like,
I can't be the best, at least let me be the worst.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was helpful, because I thought about, on the recording, I put, the mentor said, you know, that as far as the understanding, understands that it is challenging to go up against the voices, that they are relentless, it seems. So far, in my experience, but the mentor was saying things like, you know, but I'm not giving up. You know, I'm not going to give up. Maybe they'll be relentless, but we're going to be more relentless.
We're up to the task. Sounds like the mentor came across as really determined.
Because I think that little ones start hearing the voices and start getting more and more little and start believing it.
And start feeling really bad.
It really drains my energy. And sometimes I feel like I'm doing stuff in a straitjacket, trying to move, and the voices are back there like, don't do that, don't do that. You should, you know, they're just...
And is that on your recording? Have you recorded that experience?
variations of it.
Because that might be a nice one, nice time for the mentor to come in and offer some encouragement, some what to do when you're feeling like you're almost in a straitjacket because you can't do this or that without getting yelled at.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I want to add more just like specifics on when this happens.
Yeah.
This is, you know, what to listen. I'm trying to come up with what to listen to instead.
Yeah.
So like when this starts, we'll say this.
Turn our attention to this. This positive, turn our attention to somebody who's really on our side.
Yeah, and yeah, that's because that's one of the things she kept saying, is like, I'm on your side.
Yeah.
I'm on your side.
Yeah.
So I want to add to it.
Yeah, so that encouragement that came out of the email class was very timely, it sounds like.
Yes, very much so. And then to have a few minutes, have a 30-minute break where I could actually do that.
Yeah.
Was really helpful.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I had a recording opportunity yesterday, which was really a surprise. You know, we finished everything that we were working on yesterday around the retreat. You know, we're doing dishes and stuff like that. And I had time to take Pacha around for a walk around the property, which is what I love to do. And this yesterday, and we're trying something new with the dogs. I'm trying to stick around with Pacha, and Jen's trying to stick around with Sadie, so that they're separate. And Sadie wasn't tied up when I started to take Pache.
Keeping them separate may not be in their
world of fun. It's definitely not in their idea of what's going on. And it was really challenging because, gosh, I just get I get caught up in, I just look at her and I'm like, oh my God, how am I going to explain to her that we're not all going around? You know, it's like, and I just had to sit down with her and say, you know.
Because she gets this look on her face.
She does get this look on her face. It's like, we're going. All right, hot dog. We're going around this.
Yeah.
Here, I'll lead the way. I know this way. You guys just follow me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, what am I going to do? And so I had to break the news to her. You know what's funny? And I was walking around with Pacha after I said no, you're staying back. You're staying. You know, it didn't really take a whole lot. All I had to do was just point at the ground and she'd say stay. I mean, yeah, exactly. You just mimicked her perfectly.
Yeah.
You just went down and it was like,
so she does.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I was walking around and I was like, you know, I gotta get some guidance on how to deal with this because it's just like I don't know how to do this in a skillful way. And I just find it. It keeps coming up, and not only with my relationship with the dogs or the animals, it comes up with people, it comes up with, just situations. Like, when I started recording about it, which was the insight that I had halfway through, I was like, hey, I'm gonna find out what's going on about this. You know, I'm gonna record about it. And what I started to record was like, how, you know, I asked the question to the mentor. I was like, How can you do what you need to do, and even if it's challenging, you know, like, I don't want to do this. This is the last thing in the world that I want to do. How do I keep from having to have to shut down my heart in order to do it? Because it felt like that's what I had to do. I had to just, like, close down and just say no. And I was just walking around, and, you know, just at first there was, like, a whole lot of... all of it was really good. You know, like, it's funny. It's like, it took different forms. At first it was like, what it is that I felt like I needed to hear on an intellectual level.
So very practical kind of.
Yeah.
Step practical. 1, 2, 3. This is what,
It was like, It tried to come in with like what I had. The first thing that I heard was she doesn't take anything personally. She's a good one to practice with, Because she's probably just sitting there on the porch waiting for Jen to finish group so that she can go out with her.
Yeah.
Or not thinking about it at all, pretty much.
Watching for the next fly.
She snap at. Or just asleep or whatever. And
so the first thing was, you know, like, Sadie's probably fine.
Yeah, she's likely in better shape than you are.
About yeah.
she got over it pretty much when you just left.
Mm.
And we're all probably fine throughout the whole thing for all I know. I mean, just so there with it, you know, in the present moment with whatever is going on, that she just was able to express whatever is going on with her. And then, then it started to go like, well, let's not talk about her for so long, you know, because it's not really about her.
Hmm.
It's about what's going on with you. And I just started to go on about, or somebody started to go on, or someone really bored, I started to go on about how there are all these different other areas in my life where this comes up.
Seeing the same thing.
Seeing how, like, I don't want to disappoint anybody. You know, though, where I project that, you know, because I know how it comes up for me when I, so the situation is we're going to go do this and we're not actually going to go do this and how to deal with disappointment.
Yeah.
And which is what I projected onto her, disappointment.
Yeah.
And and it's like, well, it's okay to be disappointed. And so that's a mighty fine experience to have. And it was just really neat to go through that whole process of exploring all the things that go on with me around that, you know, and then it was like, well, who says you have to close your heart down in order to say whatever it is that you need to say?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can't you just say what it is that you need to say? Is it true that you closed your heart in order to say what you needed to say?
Good question, isn't it?
Yeah.
At least you're being told that you had to close your heart.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Did you indeed? Yeah.
Exactly. That's it. That was what I saw, and that was.
Mm.
I just said what I needed to say and then moved on with it, but it grabbed a hold of it and just started to make a whole lot of meaning around it.
Yeah.
And carrying it around with me longer than I needed to.
Mm.
You know, it's like that old joke about the, you know, I left that girl behind, you know, when that monk carried the other, when the monk carried the girl across the puddle. And, and the guy commented, you know, you're not supposed to be doing stuff like that. Well, I dropped her off a long time ago. Why are you still carrying her?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, that's what I projected onto Sadie, that she's carrying this grudge or something like that.
Yeah.
There's that guy again. He's not going to walk me around the property. You know, and at the same time, it's like, it came in and wanted to hold on to that and
and make you suffer the whole time you were walking, worrying about Sadie back there disappointed.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not having that experience.
Having your walk be disappointing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A disappointing walk by not having my attention on what it is that I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I'm just really grateful for the insight to record about it, because it was like, it was interesting. It was like, I need to find out what to do about this. Well, let's find out what to do about it. That's actually what the first line came through when I got the recorder out and started to do it.
Yeah, and we're able, it sounds like, to go through a bunch of layers of things that were involved in just that one little interaction and how it felt so hard.
I know.
And how it felt like you had to close your heart to do what's been asked of you to do, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and there are often times when I have to do whatever it is that just situation after situation. It's like, I think it's the difficulty with presenting bad news or something like that, you know, studying the Enneagram, you know, it's like, part of it is like, don't be a bearer of bad, you know, don't rock the boat, just go with the flow. It's so much easier just to take them both. God, can't we just take them both?
Yeah.
And it's,
yes. And it would be so much more comfortable.
So much more comfortable for me if I could just take them both. And so, so much of it is really not a matter of. It's like, it's funny because on the surface it all seems like it's about one thing, but as you just said, it's like as I started recording, I went through a whole bunch of the layers. It's like, it's really not about her. And if I was to get down to it, it's about a whole image thing that I need to uphold. It's like the whole comfort that I need to maintain, and it's all this stuff that I would never have seen had I just, you know.
Yeah.
Not decided to pick up the recorder and think that something this little was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, just like any insignificant little thing that But it's funny, it's just like it really wasn't insignificant.
It's all connected, isn't it?
Yeah. It's all tied together through that one little trigger. And I got to explore all of that just by having that recorder handy.
And really pulling the rug out from under the voices who could have gone on about how bad you were.
All sorts of stuff that had nothing to do with
closing your heart and whatever. Exactly. Or you could have taken her along and then you would have gotten a lot of voices about how.
Yeah,
get with the program, or
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
but it's
yeah,
true.
But
it would
really
have stayed on the surface.
Yeah,
it would have just all been like what it meant, rather than getting to explore all the
self-care. And seeing all that about Alex and Alex's karma and his enneagram.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, it was really neat.
Yeah,
thank you.
I also appreciated that what was sent out in the email class about recording and listening.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good reminder. I think that, I have some recordings that I think are just talking the story that I'm in out loud.
Yeah.
And I don't tend to listen to this.
I don't want to hear this again.
I know exactly what you mean.
There's the experience of recording it and having that experience, but those aren't the ones that I go to.
Yeah.
That I pick up the recorder to listen to and have what I need to hear on them.
Yeah.
And so it is a helpful reminder to use the tool as a way to have the things that I want to hear, the things that I need to hear, accessible to me.
Yes.
And I've been I had made a morning recording a while ago that I was in the habit of listening to, and then I switched recorders and I that one sort of
kind of lost it.
Yeah, I lost it, and I've picked that one back up this past week, and that's been really helpful.
Mm.
So
something from maybe a long time ago, relatively,
mm-hmm.
that you used to listen to
mm-hmm.
all every day, I guess, or almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
Change recorders, and that recording went with the old recorder mm-hmm. to be sort of forgotten for a while, but you remembered it and got it out again.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. And it is just so helpful to have a recording of the things that I know to be true when I'm in that place, when I'm in that place that I make the recording, and those things are evident to me.
Yes, and you know you are the person making the recording.
Mm-hmm.
It's your voice and your words.
And then to have that accessible
mm-hmm.
First thing in the morning when I'm when I have it's a more vulnerable time to just all kinds of other things going in my head.
Yeah. To have that special recording that you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've been having a lot of success this week with a new morning routine I've started.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning it didn't, my alarm is set for a certain time, Monday through Saturday. And not Sunday, but...
And your alarm can be set for specific days.
And I've forgotten that today's not a typical Sunday schedule, so I was intending to follow my regular morning routine, but it didn't go off at the certain time that I was used to. But I have another alarm set for when I start my first sit,
mm-hmm.
and that one went off, and and there was just a moment of, oh, this isn't the routine, and
mm-hmm.
and so like this window of like, forget the whole thing.
Yeah, how can we undermine the commitment?
And so I saw that those just like kind of that's, went through.
Yeah.
And I hopped up and sat down. And,
wow.
And that just felt like a triumph.
Yeah. Yeah. Really big on a Sunday morning when it's actually a work day, not a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that little choice point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah. I saw that choice point come a few times. It was just like, mm-hmm. Well, it's Sunday. I could
yeah.
Yeah. go back in bed, and I made my bed. So it was.
That's
it was,
one of the guarantees, or at least it helps. No, you won't get back in it. Yeah.
But just watching that, this angling for something that's mm-hmm. other than what I want.
Yeah, and that would leave you feeling really different than mm-hmm. this was really an accomplishment.
Mm-hmm. And how. It can feel sometimes in the moment like that's me, like that's how I feel.
Yes.
Those are my thoughts.
Yeah, that it's Sunday and I don't want to, and I don't. Yeah.
And then it, I was just like, this is a little suspicious.
Yeah.
What is it that I really want?
And
that was just helpful to stick with the things that support me.
Yeah. It occurs to me it really allows us to be alive mm-hmm. in a way that going with the habit and the voices that would choose the other direction
mm-hmm.
just sort of shut stuff down. Yeah, that's neat. Thank you.
and along the lines of mentoring, I've mm-hmm. been practicing a particular kind of mentoring lately where I don't always have my recorder with me. In fact, often I don't, but particularly sensations will come up that this being interprets as, well, whatever, fearful, uh-oh. Unpleasant,
mm-hmm.
you know, not what I want to be having. And with that comes the desire to do something about it, you know, to make
mm-hmm.
it go away, to do whatever it would take, though I don't have to feel that.
Yeah, so first is the sensation,
mm-hmm.
whatever the sensation is,
right.
wherever it is in your body.
Right.
And then
right.
there's a whole...
Right, then there's a story about what it means,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a story about how to get out of it. So,
yes, it's
you know,
usually interpreted as not good.
Yeah, it's
mm-hmm.
not good, and there needs to be something. We need to do something about this. You know?
Yeah,
and so I've just been practicing with recognizing that come up and recognizing the story start, and just saying, it's just sensation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Just feel it, and go ahead about whatever it is you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and. And it's really a good practice. I mean, it's really helpful and
short circuit all the other stuff
yeah.
that wants to happen.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and I just I had this whole sequence with it this one day last week where I was we were taking off on a hike as part
mm-hmm.
of my fundraiser hiking commitment, and
mm-hmm.
Also we were on our way to somewhere and happened to be going away where we could do this one hike that I'd really been wanting to do again. But it was I don't know, there are elements of it that felt scary to someone because there was no one else around. It was the long trail and nobody else was there, and there was snow still, so there were patches where we would have
mm-hmm.
to traverse snow fields and then off in the distance there was a fire going on, and you know, it was like, how close
like
is
a forest
that?
Fire.
Yeah, and how close is that, and is that, you know, and so all these things were there at the beginning, and
mm-hmm.
it was like all the sensation of, I don't know about this, you know,
mm-hmm.
maybe.
This walk that you, hike you'd been wanting to do.
To do the hike
been
that
a while
I've been
to
wanting
get back.
To do.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was the one pushing for this hike,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then I get there, and it was like, I mean, everything in me wanted to say, I don't think this is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is
yeah.
there's too much snow. We don't know about the fire. There's, you know, I don't know if it's safe.
Something could happen.
And I just practiced, I know you feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do this hike.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
You know, I know you feel that
it's
way.
It's like,
yeah.
I'm going to get up anyway
yeah.
and sit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, and shortly after that, the feeling was gone, and I just did the hike and had this tremendous hike and this great elation at the accomplishment at the end.
Yeah.
And you know, and then watched it come back in and say, "Oh yeah, but this, what if that had happened?" And, you know, I
really?
Mean, yeah, it wanted to drop.
What if that fire really had been
fire? What if one of you had slipped and fell? And you know,
we were gonna go home, close the door, put the locks, draw the shades, and never go out again.
Really?
Because all this elation is.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing? Yes, and you got to be there for all of that.
Got to see every part of it. And,
and
then it would just go on to, well, okay, that was great. Now, here's the next part of the trip where this could go wrong. You know, I mean, it's just, it's nonstop. You know, it never gives up.
You know, and the thing that goes wrong is never going to be something it thinks of. Because all it can think of is, was it Rumi? I never thought it would be like this.
So just you know, and the, and just I have so many opportunities to practice it. You know, so some sensation or a disappointment, you know, or I know, just that's okay. Just we're just gonna. You can feel that way. You know.
You know, I was wondering if the sensations, if it would ever be fun to try or possible. A sensation comes through, and reframe it to a positive. Because I'm imagining little people.
Yeah,
tickled.
Yeah, or we're I just came across this quotation. I can't remember just yesterday or the day before, and it. I don't even remember. Oh, I know, it was in a workshop. I was in at a conference, and this person put this quotation up on the screen, and it was from Fritz Perls, and it said, fear is excitement without breathing. You know?
Yeah.
Fear is excitement without
breathing. That's interesting, isn't it? Because you have to come back to the breath.
Right. But. You know, it's kind of the same sensations, but you're holding on rather than...
You're not just letting
going with it. So
what's going to happen? That's neat. Fear is excitement without breathing.
I think that was it. It was very close to that.
It feels like it expresses something.
And
So if instead of closing down and
so when I get some of my things in my body, oh well, you shouldn't. That shouldn't be happening. You know, that must mean you have X. You know. I just go, well, I'm feeling this thing right now. That's it.
That's
end of story. It doesn't, you know, just stop it at the level of what it means and what the result is. And
And it's not stopping you from doing what you set out to do. Certainly would like to do. And then meet you up afterward. I mean, imagine getting in the car and going home. What it would have told you all the way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Whatever you are, whatever language it uses in your world.
And there's two other things about that hike. So this hike was one of the ones we did on the camping retreat last year. It was a very long one. And it was one where, you know, we had a time we had to be back at the parking lot, and I sort of was monitoring my progress and wanting to get to the destination, but thinking, probably a little too long for me as my hiking speed to do that. So last year when we did it on the camping retreat, I got to a certain point and just concluded that, you know, I would have to stop there and turn around and go back. And so I knew exactly where that point was. So this time when we got there, I noticed where that was. It was 3 more minutes to the I was that close.
And you caught it.
And I believe the voice was then that I couldn't get all the way there and back. And I was, you know, like 3 minutes till I would have been where I was wanting to go.
Which is an interesting process in itself,
isn't it?
Having done that.
Yes, absolutely. Totally interesting to see.
Let's check this out.
Who decided that that was, you know, that we couldn't do it, you know, that that was it, when in fact we were there, practically.
Yeah. Catching, conditioning, and yet another lie.
And the other two things is I was practicing while I was on the hike, kind of one of the things we were doing on that hike of sort of projecting messages from the environment, you know, what was it telling me, and there were two really neat ones that I wanted to share. One was, I mean, the wildflowers were beyond, even more so than last year. And they were saying to me, bloom while you can, the season is short.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the other message I got, because there's one point where you can...
And you send that as a tweet.
What?
That's a good one,
isn't it? Yeah. I'll do that. And the other one, I was looking kind of off to where I knew we were going early in the hike, and it looked like a really long way away. And, you know, somebody was going, well, I don't know. And the voice came in and it said, you can't know where you're going. You can only know where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So I really liked both of those.
Yeah. Those are great tweet material.
I'll make them into tweet material.
First of all, I just want to say that when that first interchange today, it was a reminder to me that the mentor is just as relentless as conditioning.
Yes.
It's very helpful for me to remember.
Yes.
Conditioning is noisier and more insistent, but it's just helpful to remember that the mentor is always there and just as relentless and just as formidable, but just quieter.
Yeah, conditioning is attention getting.
Yes.
And the mentor is simply available.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Yeah, that was just a really helpful thing to be reminded of. Because when I get caught in conditioning, it can be like, this is all that there is, of course.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, I was thinking, as a teacher, you know, it's just like a classroom where you've got the acting out kid, you know, and all of the attention.
Yes.
Goes to the acting out kid, and the poor little quiet kid in the corner is just doing work.
Yeah.
Can be completely ignored, and the same process can be run with the mentoring conditioning. So I was just looking at something. I'm sitting here, and I'm aware that conditioning is attempting to make me feel bad about something. So I want to expose it. And I'm also noticing something that just is interesting. So I this past couple days, I was at a little conference, and it was a conference of environmental folks, and so I was representing a group, a local group, and this is all these various local groups from all over the Northern California, and I found the workshops interesting, and in the workshop setting, you know, I contribute and I raise my hand and that kind of stuff and ask questions. Then there are these networking occasions, you know, like meals. And
mingle.
Mingle. Boy, do I ever not like to mingle. And that, you know, I've always said that about me, that I'm just, you know, I heard myself saying, I mean, I'm not a networker. So I thought, well, no, there's an identity, right? There's a statement of identity. And and so for the most part, I didn't.
Didn't schmooze,
and actually went off at some of three periods and read somewhere, and that's just you know on the Enneagram I identify as a five, and so what conditioning is wanting me to feel bad about right now is that, you know, that I should have, wasn't telling me that at the time. Now it's telling me that I should have been out there networking and chatting with people, and so that's just interesting to notice. I want to bust it right now because it wants to come in after the fact and make a problem out of that.
Yeah, and then what you're seeing, it sounds like, is where were you when I could have networked, and why weren't you saying this then? And
And I also just wanted to, you know, also just look at the fact that I felt, you know, that voice was saying that I was identifying with coming and saying I'm not somebody who networks. And just expose that that's an identity that I'm reinforcing, and that's not helpful either.
It might be an interesting one just to explore in that same way that was talked about earlier of recording and finding what's under.
Right.
I'm not a networker.
Well, and so part of what's so interesting about that is, so a number of weeks ago, I was at a retreat, actually, in a whole different setting with mostly an entirely different set of people out of a different religious tradition, and I was just out there.
Yeah,
well, I didn't have any trouble chatting, meeting people.
Yeah, but it wasn't networking.
It wasn't networking. Well, thank you. That's a helpful distinction, because I was looking at, it felt like, yeah, you know, this last couple of days, the five part of me was pretty dominant.
Mm-hmm.
And then it felt like in that setting, there was more like a seven or an eight, you know, somebody mm-hmm. was just there and talking to people and,
mm-hmm.
And you know, not feeling I have to talk to people, but being very comfortable yeah. talking to people. I didn't really have the choice of sitting with people I knew because I didn't know anybody, and there was a certain advantage of that. But so I, what I was just looking at is, you know, was what was in the situation that felt different? Why mm-hmm. was I was I such a different persona?
Because there was a lot about them that was similar. You, for one thing.
Yeah.
Although you were different folks, but yeah, a whole bunch of people talking about things they're interested in.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I think actually part of it was that the one was a retreat. You know, and yesterday was a kind of a group of political activist types. You know?
Okay.
So the sort of the content of the conversation is very different.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think there's also that in this past weekend there was a group of people I knew very well, so I gravitated to that safety.
Uh-huh.
My sixth wing, I think,
uh-huh.
gravitated to the safety of being with those people.
Mm-hmm.
And at the other setting, there was one person I knew pretty well, but that's all.
Mm-hmm.
But I just am aware that there's just something different about it, the sort of what I project as the agenda of those two settings, where the one, it just felt there was a kind of a, it felt more comfortable, it felt perfectly safe in a way to be just there, and the other one, there was something that apparently didn't feel so safe about it,
mm-hmm.
and so
mm-hmm.
that's what I want to look at.
Really?
Why was I, it's basically a five in one setting and an eight in another, or, mm-hmm. just, or kind of a seven-ish eight in mm-hmm. another, and I've had that kind of experience before, that depending upon kind of the context or the content of the event, I'm quite different.
Yeah. Be interesting, it seems to me, to explore what was going on before each event.
Hmm.
From perhaps a perspective of who's going.
That could be, and you know, what just dawned on me too is, who am I in relationship to that context? Because mm-hmm. in this activist context, as a representative of my particular organization, I was in the context, and the context tends to be adversarial. Mm. You know, these are groups working towards something.
There is something wrong.
There is something wrong.
Right, and we have to context, do something about it.
In the other context, for many of the people gathered there, there was something wrong. But I'm not in that context anymore.
Mm.
Specifically, it was a Christian retreat, mm-hmm. mostly. Catholic sisters who have to do a certain amount of battle with their institution, and I'm not in the institution anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt utterly free
uh-huh.
to just enjoy what I enjoyed about the conference with no investment. That's it. There was something about the lack of investment that allowed me to totally invest.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
The lack of a specific investment
mm-hmm.
or an identity investment
or
that allowed me to
posture.
Allowed me to bring all my energy there. And there's something about this setting where there was a kind of an assumption of some kind of shared posture that I'm part of that caused me to hold back. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I will record about this.
Yeah.
This is really
interesting. It really is, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. But different people showed up at those
mm-hmm.
two things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I was looking when people were talking at fear and excitement,
mm-hmm.
and I was walking, I was thinking about the external, you know, David, he's eight, and I was walking him to his first soccer practice,
mm-hmm.
it was just he and I, and we had a pretty big walk, and he's got his new stuff on, you know, he says, well, and he's not really talkative, he was so cute, I wished I had a tape recorder, because
mm-hmm.
he said, well, I think, and we're walking along, I think I'm a little scared. And I said, oh, okay, you think you're a little scared? And he said, well, no, actually, I don't think I'm a little scared. Maybe I think I'm excited. And I said, oh, so you're excited? He said, yeah, and shy. I said, And I thought it so nice if I could just do what he was doing, rather than believe the system automatically, which is, I'm scared.
Yeah.
I'm going into a new situation. I am scared.
Yeah.
And I believe that story rather than just kind of, look at all the different
exploring
things.
Exploring it.
Actually, is it scary now? I've been waiting. I got my new stuff on and going to play a game I really like. And my mom's here with just me. I don't know if you really had that going. I had it going. One child, I get to give him all my attention. So, anyway, I was looking at that when people were talking.
Yeah, his being open to all of the possibilities of, of what all this, what's going on inside.
Yeah, he wasn't so... And the other thing I was looking at was this morning. Somebody was talking about, that's how you feel? Well, we're going to go do this anyway. I do that a lot with kids. Mm-hmm. This morning, it was church. David again. I'm not going. I know, it's not that enjoyable. And you're going anyway. Mm-hmm. So get your stuff on. And just the practice of that. Andrew talks about a lot as a kid, having to go to church and finally getting there, and then it was okay, and then it's done, and then you go do your next
thing. Yeah, get through the resistance
but
to going.
Getting through the resistance, yeah. I think it's a good one for kids, because most kids, I didn't either, wasn't super enthusiastic as a small child about church, somewhat, but anyway, just looking at doing that with myself, and I also, my dogs are my kids, and I'm a huge, it's really been helpful to look at this Enneagram thing, because I have the whole thing happen, sometimes I can just be kind of that, what I would call just a clear clarity, and I don't even know if it has a number, it could just be me being me. Mm-hmm. And
that place of, I know you don't want to go anywhere,
right,
anyway.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I can feel when that happens, please just let me get out of bed, but I just walked out of the room and did what I needed to do next, because I was getting everyone else ready, and there's something really helpful right now for me with just doing it anyway. Not kind of similar to what was being described about the hike. My next thing is to go fix a bagel because the other child just woke up and I need to have something for her as we walk out the door.
Uh-huh.
And so rather than stay and possibly get caught in a story, my story, really, my internal story of, oh my gosh, she's going to, and then, and how come, and, oh, can't they just, and I want them to enjoy it, but I know it's kind of lame,
It really isn't fun.
I understand the guy,
Yes, I don't want to go either, but...
It's a good thing to do as a family. And then we go, get to go to Aria and have something sweet to eat. We have this whole lunch treat around it. I don't know if the kids feel this way, but... When it's a nice space, the church, actually, it's an older one, and it's got some history, and it's the temperature, I actually really enjoy it when I get there. I don't know if they feel the same way, but it's, all of us together. But anyway, just watching, really helpful to have heard about the dogs, to be reminded of. On this last retreat I went on, my piece of content that I looked at is this story I have around my kids' eating habits. They're very picky. And I thought it was the story. Again, that's why recording and listening or coming on a retreat or whatever, when we're out there by ourselves or when I'm out there by myself, I get caught in the story. If they would just not be so picky, or if I could just, we'll do this, and not looking, not turning to the attention to the, what I saw was the intense self-hatred underneath it that was not being looked at because I was caught in a story.
Underneath all of the feelings around their picky eater.
Right. Yeah. All of the beliefs. So I'm caught in a story and I'm thinking, it's just the if, this, then. So if they would, then I would, or this would, this, I was looking at the process coming down about this, just a satisfaction, that if I had something, then I would be, that hungry ghost.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And really, when I'm caught in the content of my stories, I forget it's just the plea of egocentric karma conditioning, self-hatred, the devil, whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it,
yes,
that has thrown me up a story. So I'm looking at that, not totally missing the one who's being tortured.
Yes.
When I could just let go of the story mm-hmm. and care for the one who's being tortured about what the one who's being tortured. In this case, it would be about the content of
whatever people think about picky eater kids or whatever goes on.
Yeah, whatever goes on.
But the angst that happens.
The angst that goes on. And it uses, I was seeing, my sincerity or something. So what the content, you know, what's happened to me around what got me into the story was a sincere desire for everyone to be happy. Mm. And so it used that sincerity and twists it and creates a story. Well, okay, the thing to do would be not to, you know, go to church or not to go on the hike or not to make them eat things that they don't like. Mm-hmm. That would be the content of that story. And so that thing got used, and now in this situation, and now ego comes in, self-hatred, and twists it again. Mm. Still making me think it's about the story. You know, it's twisting, well, if you hadn't, then they wouldn't, and you know, the whole thing.
Right, right. It's all your fault.
It's all your fault. Never catching on. I mean, it's not that I don't catch on. You catch on to what was told. Well, that's a story. It's just a story. We're not going to believe it, and we're going to go to church. We're not going to believe it, and we're going to put certain things on the table. We're not going to believe it, and we're going to go anyway. And we're going to be with and record about whatever arises, because I would be in a very small room with the blinds closed. I mean, I could just feel, you know, it's what I want to do in this situation. All right, eat whatever you want. Ice cream's in the fridge. I'm going to my room, locking the door, sitting in my bed, and covering up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what this six is.
Well, and I wanted to back up just to one thing I was struck by was what you realized was the sincerity was about just wanting everybody to be happy. And I wonder about the person here who's not being allowed to be happy. And what would happen if she were...
She's not allowed to be free.
Yeah.
Yeah. If she...
Because if they would just be happy, then I would be happy.
Right.
That's what
absolutely.
I can project.
If they would be happy, it's if they would be quiet, then I would feel peaceful. It would be probably more, but maybe if they would be happy, I would be happy. But either way, leaving the one that I could actually attend to.
And who could feel peaceful.
And who could feel peaceful.
Or
absolutely.
Happy, or whatever
absolutely.
She wants to feel.
Yes, definitely. I mean, definitely working with that and working with her.
Because that's not what's being modeled for her.
By
the internal. The one who's gets caught in the story.
Correct. She gets left.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she isn't important, because what's really important is
getting the externals to line up
to be happy. And of course it never works. So it's good that it never works. Because then
we could
really
believe in control.
Well, it's good that I'm grateful that I have not had seen over and over and over that doesn't work.
Yeah.
With this piece of content, but with all, you know, just glad that I've been stayed around over and over and over to see through different stories, because then when the ones that are current and compelling arise, I can remember I used to believe that with this.
It's the same process.
You know, it was the same feeling, same sensation, same process. You stayed anyway. I mean, let's just say coming to the monastery on a retreat, I didn't leave, you know, when I was scared at night or when I got the note that was. So I don't have to leave on this one either.
Yeah.
I can, and I don't have to leave here.
For anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that means I'm just going to grab a hold and stay here. It's like,
well, and you did it, didn't you? When you walked out of the bedroom and left David there to get himself
right.
up.
Yes, yes. And that when I said, okay, moment. Here we go. Yeah. I'll be waiting in the car.
Bagels, that's the next
thing. Bagels, next thing, yeah. Okay, here we go. Then I was coming home from church, and I'm like...
And he was with you,
right? He was with me, he made it. It was fine. Well, he was fine, but then Sophia, you know, I get caught off guard. It's like those missing pieces, you know, it's those, okay, here we are, we're all in the pew, and there she goes, you know, Mom, I left my gum in the car. And I'm thinking, I gave you that gum, so you'd have it in your mouth, so you'd be quiet at church. That's what I'm thinking. How did you leave it in the car? And you know, that she's just like, you know, Mom, come on. And you know, this place is silent. And I'm like, right. Okay. My experience is, I could say, like I see other parents say, and like I've said before, shut up and sit down. My experience with Sophia is, it will erupt. You know, it doesn't work. So what I could do is, what I did in that moment was I said, okay, let's go get the gum. We went down, we walked, I did walking meditation, we walked slowly. I said, we're going to walk slowly, we're going to breathe, we're going to be out in nature, we're going to get the gum, we're going to walk back. Well, I need to take David his piece. Oh no, we're not going to go in and out of the church, we're going to sit here in the church and breathe. And so then, she's so funny, they're just so funny to come and, you know, what is the alternative? Be in the moment. Be with what's happening, you know, and then they're so funny. They're like dogs, you know, they're kids. Well, here we are at church. Now, Mom, what did she have at this conversation? I just have to tell you this conversation. She said, it was something about, I wish I could think how it started, but it was something about Jesus, you know, it was just trying to make sense of the story. Now, why again? Tell me again why they killed him or something like that. So anyway, I just practiced with being here. Well, you know, it didn't make sense, and you know, she was startled by that story around Easter time. And
can kind of understand it. She's four.
And it's actually, you know, I said just
kind of gruesome.
Yeah, it's kind of gruesome. Except that I was telling her the way I ended the story today was I said, well, see, you know, what Jesus learned to do was just move his attention. not listen to that snake that Adam and Eve listened to. It was out there this morning, I have to say. But I think in the moments of those moments, I can either resist what's unfolding or not. It's kind of where I'm practicing right now. There are some things that we're going anyway, and there's some things where that seems the next thing to do. You know what we're going to do? We're going to put on our shoes and hike. Mm-hmm. We're all going to go. In that situation, do we really need to stay in this church building? No. Mm-hmm. And us both suffer an excruciatingly painful half hour that's left to go.
Yeah.
Or can we just? But it becomes tricky. It becomes tricky because I start listening to this ego rather than. Mm-hmm. What Jen said the other week about the artificial choice, I've been looking at that a lot. She talked about the artificial choice and that's when we get caught. I don't know if that's what she said at all, but that's when we get caught in, should I, shouldn't I, maybe, would not. Right. And then we're trying to see. But when we let go of that, there's only one choice. Go get the gum.
Yeah.
You know, there's only the next thing.
Yeah. Which for somebody else might have been...
Stay.
Be quiet.
Exactly.
No gum.
And it could have been for me.
But it still would have been only...
It would have been clear.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes that's what it is. And so there have been times when we don't have the time and David's in a state and I may not be able to... The next thing is, okay, you guys go ahead and go. I'll stay with him. Mm-hmm. I mean, but it's never... You know, what I keep seeing is it's never... the same. You know, you can't hold on to the content because the content, it's the process. You know, it's the process.
And it's always
get here, breathe.
Let life provide the answer.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Let life provide the answer and look really closely because it really might be different this time.
Yes.
Mm. And so maybe, and then I'll quit, maybe back when I was accommodating their eating, that maybe was an okay thing to do. Who knows? It could have just been in my...
It might as well have been the next day. Given that it's what happened.
Exactly. Exactly. Why didn't I just say it might as well have been what was then?
Might as well.
And now let's go to now.
Yeah. It's end of suffering.
End of suffering. Do the next thing now, in this moment, see what arises, mm-hmm. and trust the clarity. And it still might be the pull, you know, all those things might arise.
Yes.
But I'm still going to take the lock.
The snake is not going to disappear.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's still going to come slithering up and try to trick me to eat that apple. Mm-hmm. Every time, that is what it's going to do, disguised as something. A wolf or a whatever, you know, the other images that have been given throughout the ages. Stay here and it will be...
Revealed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks.
Putting my head up because I feel like it's my turn.
It's your turn. It's your turn, June.
So I want to talk about my golf game.
Okay.
I'm not having a good year, as they say. Mm-hmm. And a couple of physical things have been going on that could contribute to that. But it's really mostly about voices. And... it's about the voices start getting loud in my head. Do you know what the yips are?
What's the what?
Yips.
Y-I-P-S?
Yeah.
No.
It's when you've got to do a delicate physical thing and your nerves jump.
Oh.
So golfers can get that over putting, the short ones in particular. And I've had... minor version of that a time or two in my life, but I've got kind of a major version of it right now, and there is so much story about it.
Ah, so you go to do a short putt, and these yips start, and they're physical.
Yeah, and it's just the body, the mind just goes crazy, and the body goes crazy, and everything tightens, and the breath, there's no breath, you know, there's no awareness. There's just terror. And may I ask what the Fritz Perl quote was again?
Fear is excitement holding its breath.
Or without breathing.
Without breathing.
Like that, yeah, something like that.
That's really helpful.
Mm.
Yeah, because...
Seizing up.
Yeah.
That would I would project include not breathing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what which happens, but be interesting to watch the process, how it go from being fine to standing over a short putt, and all of a sudden the whole system just goes haywire.
Hmm.
You know, what got me there?
Mm-hmm.
What was the movement?
Yes.
The sensation?
What was in that space?
Yeah. There's a whole story going about how I always just think people with the yips are just so totally, that's disgusting. And now I've got that whole thing going. And that is such a process of me that I know about myself, about so many things.
Double reverse projection kinds of things?
And so the content... currently in my life about the self hate is using and the story is all wrapped up around and that I can't find the breath. It is a golf game.
And is somebody not okay with that?
Oh, somebody's not okay with golf being the content of what I'm talking about.
Yes. Yeah, which is interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
say mine, that's hard.
Oh, I know. So it occurs to me that a way to support myself in that bit of content is not unlike the way I'm privileged to be able to support myself in other places, which is talking out.
Yeah.
Now, the people at the office are not going to think that's... I'm going to say that I have to preface it. I'm just going to... I'm going to start saying out loud what's going on with me in the most present moment detail that I can manage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now you guys can listen and you can walk away. But I'm gonna start doing that because I can't. There's something violent. It feels violent to just get it out.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, it feels like I'm closing my heart.
Yeah.
To the part of me who loves this game,
mm-hmm.
by adding such judgment and such attitude about the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, and not acknowledging the one or the parts who are suffering because of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
The one who loves golf.
Yeah, believing the story that the content is so trivial
that it
barely deserves attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just, get it out, get this over with, you'll get through it, it'll go away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do that with a lot of stuff.
It's the encouragement, since I'm learning about nining, the encouragement to not care for the being who
it's
most needs
important.
The care.
It's not important. It's just me. Mm-hmm. And it's just a game.
Yeah.
So, don't talk about it. Don't think about it.
Mm-hmm. Gut it through.
Gut it out. It'll go away.
Yeah.
And you know, it will. It will go away. But it'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't. It won't have been me.
Hmm.
Let's see. What won't they have been? Let's not say the burning, but I don't know. It won't have been any kindness.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it feels like such a huge opportunity to practice kindness.
And who knows?
And to have be important.
Yeah.
The person to whom it is important.
That's a big one. What I was about to say was maybe the people around me, maybe they will listen.
Maybe they
would listen.
Yeah, and maybe
it would.
Yeah.
Even be a way to, well, let's see.
Mm.
Something about not being avaricious and so teachings.
Yeah, it might be modeling for the next time one of them is in a spot that,
I'm hearing a lot of yabbits, but I'm going to announce to whoever I'm playing with. I'm going to get really talky over my troubles. I'm just going to say stuff you might never have heard before. But I'm tired of having yes, I'm tired of abandoning this person.
Yeah. Yeah. But be kind to her.
And I get another aspect of the story is it happens as you, it tends to happen to people as they get older.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I think but it certainly doesn't happen to everybody, and I don't think there's much of a physiological reason why it'd be, you know, I'm just, it's over. I don't think there's much of a psychological reason for it. It's like, it just one day showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling that if I got it out, it'll just go away again.
Mm-hmm.
But it's here now. It's in my life.
Yeah.
It showed up. It's for me, as the guide would say. If it shows up in your life, it's for you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And as we learn in practice, that resisting it, doing that seizing up is going to help hold it in place. Just talking it through, this is what's going on. Feels like it moves to a place of acceptance, which sidesteps the resistance.
Thank you for reflecting or saying that, because what I just saw is my whole goal is to get rid of it through awareness. I have a feeling it'll fall away. Oh, that's a tricky place. All right, we'll see. I'll try it, see what happens.
Yeah, and keep checking in.
You know, I often in my shares and group without check-in about this. I can never remember what I talked about. I think I remember this.
Thanks, Jim. It's your time. Thank you.